Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. On the past couple of Searchlight programs, we have been looking at a story in 2 Samuel chapters 3 and 4. In this story, there is lots of bloody stuff going on. Initially, David is king of Judah, while Ishbosheth is king of Israel. But then Ishbosheth's general, Abner, defects to David. This upsets David's main military man, Joab, because Abner had killed his brother. So Joab kills Abner. Then two of Ishbosheth's military leaders kill Ishbosheth and bring his head to David because they wanted favor with David. But David is not pleased with their treachery and has them killed. What a gruesome story. As we pick up the story in 2 Samuel 5, John will share with us an important understanding that will give some sense to this story. He will also give us an important application for our life. Here now is Pastor John.
Then, notice the word then, came all the tribes of Israel to David to Hebron, saying, "Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. In time past, when Saul was king over us, you were the one that led us out and brought in Israel. You led us. David, even when Saul was king over us, you were the real leader among us. We knew that. And the Lord," verse 2, the people go on to say, "the Lord said to you, 'You shall feed my people and you shall be a captain over Israel.'" We know what the Lord said to you. You're going to be our feeder and you're going to be our leader. That's the promise that God gave to you, that you are going to be the one that feeds us and you are going to be the one that leads us. And David, we've seen that. Even when Saul was king, we saw the anointing on your life. So, verse 3, all the elders of Israel came to the king David to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over all Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in totality. He reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. He reigned over all of Israel for 33 more years after that. So for 40 years, he reigned as king. Now, I want to call your attention to a very important thing, and we'll finish with this tonight. But I hope you'll tune in and listen very carefully. I want you to see something here. If you miss this, I think you'll miss a real key of spiritual life, of service, of ministry. This whole story is brutal and bloody. Heads roll, blood flows, power is shifting, there's negotiations going on and devious deeds done and all the rest. And David himself is going through an interesting process in his own life. See, he knows that he has been called to be king. And now at last, it's happened. It says, all of Israel, the last phrase of verse 3 of chapter 5, all of Israel came, the elders from all the tribes came at this time and anointed him to be king. For 7.5 years, this civil war has been going on, where he was anointed by the men of Judah, but not by the whole nation. Years before that, he was anointed by Samuel when he was just a lad. Just a boy. And here's what I want you to see. Think with me. Listen carefully. David was anointed three times. He was anointed three times before he actually became king of the land. And I have found this to be true. I have found this to be so important in my own life and in talking to young people too. Three times was David anointed. The anointing speaks of the empowering, the authority, the ability to do the thing that God has called you to do. The first time David was anointed is in 1 Samuel chapter 16. He was anointed before his family. Listen, he was anointed before his family. The first time he was anointed, Samuel the prophet came and said to Jesse, "The Lord has directed me, Jesse, to your house. Among your sons is to be the next king of the nation." And Jesse brought his boys out one at a time, starting with the oldest and going through the seven sons. And Samuel said, "Something's not right. None of these guys is the one. I don't have that witness in my heart. I'm not hearing that word from the Lord. None of these. Do you have any other boys?" "Well, I got one more son. He's out watching the sheep, the little guy, the runt of the litter. We'll call him. Call him." And so David was called. And he came from watching the sheep. What a great place to find a shepherd. He came in and Samuel said, "That's the one." And he anointed David right there before David's family, before David's brothers, and before David's father, Jesse. This is where the first anointing comes, in front of and before your family. If it doesn't work at home, it doesn't work at all. If you're interested in some ministry, but it doesn't begin and work out at home in the eyes of your family, forget about it. These brothers looked at their younger sibling, David, and they saw the prophet of God pour out the oil from the horn upon the head of this little guy. Wow. And they couldn't figure it out, but they knew it was true. It didn't make sense to them, logically. That's not the way it works. It's supposed to be the oldest brother, or the strongest one, or the most athletic, or the handsome guy. But David, the shepherd boy? And David had to prove himself before his brothers. They questioned him. They made fun of him. They questioned, how could it be? Remember when the older brothers were fighting against the Philistines in the Valley of Elah? There was a big giant by the name of Goliath, and David came on the scene. "What are you doing here, kid? You've just come to watch us get beat up." "No, no, that's not why I'm here." And those brothers saw David once again with the blessing of the Lord upon him when David went out and killed Goliath. This is where the first anointing is. Before you'll ever see the thing fulfilled and worked out, whatever the calling might be or the dream is, it starts at home. To where your brothers, your family, your husband, your wife, your kids, your parents, whoever it might be, say, "You know what? There is an anointing on you. I can't figure out why. It seems like I should be the guy, but I have to say that giants are going down, that things are getting done, that you are truly communing with the Lord. You're close to the Lord. You're being used by the Lord. I wouldn't have picked you. You're the runt in my estimation. But something is happening before our eyes. We see it in the family." And David received this anointing, and he had to live under this anointing, if you would, before his family While his brothers were questioning, wondering, castigating. See, but he learned in this hope. I know that even if my brothers don't fully understand, even though it doesn't seem like I'm the likely guy, I know that God has called me. And I'm going to walk in that simplicity and humility. I'm going to trust the Lord is going to do what he's called me to do, you see. I'll watch my father's sheep. I'll take my brother's taunts. I'll do the menial tasks and let them go off to war while I stay home. I'd rather be out there. But whatever my father wants, whatever David would say, Jesse wants, whatever we would say, my father wants as relates to my family. If I stay home and don't go to the mission field or don't become the Billy Graham or whatever it is that's on my heart, okay, I'm going to live my life in hope, the expectation that good is coming, and humility, you see. Like those brothers from Tennessee that walk into the recruiter's office for the Air Force there. The colonel steps up and steps out and says, "You guys, you're big. Look like you fell off a Wheaties box. But tell me, why should I take you in the U.S. Air Force?" First brother said, "Because I'm a pilot." "Great, sign right here." And the guy signed his name. And the colonel then said to his twin brother, "What about you? Why should we take you?" "Well, I chop wood." "Well, son, we have a technologically advanced Air Force. We don't need wood choppers. What are you talking about, chop wood?" "Well, you took my brother." "Well, yeah, but he's a pilot." "Well, yeah, but I got to chop it before he can pilot." "I got to chop it before he can pilot." So sometimes we might say, now where was I going with that? Oh, sometimes we might say, "Yeah, well, how come he's chosen? You know, I got to chop it before he can pilot. How come he's picked? How come he's recruited? How come he's signed up?" You see. But the fact of the matter is, in reality, although those questions will come your way, you just keep on going from day to day to day, living the life before your parents, before your spouse, before your kids, before your family. David was anointed first before his family. Secondly, he was anointed again in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 4, before his tribe, the men of Judah. He was from Judah, not the whole country, not all of Israel, but his tribe. They recognized, yeah, first anointed before his family, and then he was anointed before his tribe. You see, why? Because even though David was in a weakened state by his own admission, verse 39 of chapter 3, if you're following or taking notes, David says, "I am this day weak, though anointed king." This is before he was anointed as king of the whole nation. "I've been anointed before my family. I've been anointed before my tribe. I'm weak. It's been 7.5 years. I don't feel strong." But what he was, listen to me, what he was faithful. For 7.5 years, he didn't take things into his own hands. He didn't kill Saul when he had the opportunity. He didn't kill Ishbosheth. He didn't even want to see Abner done in. He took his hands off. He had faith in God, and he just plugged away day after month after year. 7.5 years go by. And I'm sure his advisors were saying, "Take control of the situation, David." But he wouldn't do that. He didn't go there. He was simply, faithfully serving his tribe and having faith that God would do what God wanted to do in due season, you see. This is the second thing. First of all, a man, a woman, a person has got to be anointed at home. I'm convinced of that. It's prerequisite number one. And there he, she, they have to learn humility and have hope that God is at work, even though others might wonder and question. Then your tribe anoints you. What's that? A part of the group says, I sense there's an anointing on you. I sense that you have a gifting. I sense that the Lord is doing something in you and through you and with you. It's not just your mom saying, oh, God's going to use you. But now it's bigger than that. It spreads out from there. And the tribe that's around you, the tribe, the fraternity that you're in, the people that you hang with, your hometown, if you would, Judah in David's case, they came to him and said, we see that you are to be king. And they anointed him. It was there David was faithful. Moreover, Paul says, it is required of servants that they be found faithful. Faithful, just being faithful. Faithful in the little things that God sends your way. You might not be, I might not be, we might not be at the full orb of what we believe we should be or could be or desire to be, but we're going to be faithful in the tribe, even though it might be a long time, 7.5 years, we're just going to plug away. And then the third time he's anointed here in chapter 5, verse 3, is before the whole nation. Why? Now, I want you to see this. Remember, he's anointed first before his family. That's where it starts. And he had hope. And he learned humility. Secondly, before the tribe. And there he was faithful and had faith that God would do what God desired to, ultimately. Now, all of Israel comes when? Verse 1, the first word, then came all the tribes unto David, saying, you lead us, you feed us, you are to be king over all of us. When? What's the then refer to? When they saw that David was a man of love. That David wasn't happy that Abner was dead. That David didn't rejoice that the one that was previously against him has now been taken away and removed from off the scene, which other politicians, other men would say, well, good riddance. This guy, Abner, is a potential problem for me. He's a powerful man. And can I trust him? He's been loyal to Saul and all the rest. It says all the people were pleased, verse 36 of chapter 3. All the people were pleased when David said, I'm not going to eat. He ripped his clothes. He truly grieved over the death of Abner, and it pleased all the people. Listen to me. All of a sudden, the people, in seeing David's response to the Abner death, said, he's our man. He loves. He's a man of grace who gives people another opportunity, who shows mercy. He loves. He loves. David is unlike other generals, other leaders, other potentates, other rulers, other kings, other politicians. He really loves. He really cares about the death of Abner. And it pleased the people. The old adage is true. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And it was then that all the nation gathered around David. Then when David said, I'm grieving over Abner's death, and you guys that killed Ishbosheth, you're dead. Why? You should be happy that the other king, the guy that was fighting against you, is now wiped out. I'm not happy with that at all. Off with your hands and off with your feet to those two men that killed Ishbosheth. I'm not going to allow that. I don't want you to defend me that way. To hurt others, those that you perceive to be the enemy? No, David is a lover. He really is. He He's a lover of God. He's a lover of people. Lover of ladies too, but that's a different story. It's a problem for David. But he's a man that loves God. And he loves people. And he says no. And all the nations said, you are a man. Now, in those three anointings, I see very clearly family, tribe, nation. Family. Yeah, they might question, but they have to say at the end of the day, he kills giants. He's been humble. He's watched the sheep. He's run the errands. And there's a blessing. There's anointing. Tribe. He's been faithful. He has faith. He's weak by his own admission. He feels weak, but he hasn't thrown in the towel. He's been faithful. Nation. He loves. He cares, you see. There are three great attributes, 1 Corinthians 13 says to you and says to me, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is love. David shows these attributes, hope and humility as he's anointed before his family, faith and faithfulness, even though he's weak in leading his tribe, and love, and the whole nation flocks to him. So you say, well, what are you suggesting, John, in all this? I'm saying, what has the Lord put on your heart? As a person, as a parent, as a servant, here's the key. It's going to take probably longer than you think. It's not going to happen as quickly as you want. And there needs to be, in one way or another, this threefold anointing where your family says, yeah, in your humility, we see that God has blessed you and you have hope. Where the tribe, the people that are right around you, not your family, a little bit larger group, yeah, you're just faithful. You just hang in there. You don't throw in the towel. You don't vacillate. You don't go back. Even when you're in a weakened state, you're just hanging in there. Even when the times are tough, you don't flake off. You don't fall away. You don't fade to the back and out the door. You're just faithful, see. And the tribe recognizes that. And then the nation. The whole thing comes to fruition. When? When you show that you really, truly care about people. It's the love of the Lord flowing through you that causes people to say, hey, I want to receive from you. Love, 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 love. So, gang, as we work through these things, as we all are and continue to, let's realize, Lord, I understand a little bit more now. You have called me to be this. You have called me to do that. It hasn't happened as quickly as I thought it would. I'm 73, and it still hasn't happened. But Lord, I see now that there are stages, that there are repeated anointings before the thing comes together. And I trust you, Lord. I'm going to trust you that you're working in me hope and faith and, most importantly, love.
Don't you want those in your life? Faith, hope, love? And this can be worked out in our life as we allow God's anointing to develop in us. It may take longer than we want or expect, but by patiently waiting upon the Lord, He will work in us faith, hope, and love. This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com. That's johncorson.com.
We are all on a journey in this life. If you are a believer in God, your journey is taking you to heaven. To help us keep our eyes on our destination, we have a book available called A Place for You. Reflections on Heaven. This book, taken from sermons that John has given, focuses on the hope of heaven. Heaven is a real place, and it is not that far away. This book is for everyone who longs for that day when we will be in heaven with our Savior. You may order a place for you from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.